Please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Max Lucado wrote, "God never promises to remove us from our struggles. He does promise, however, to change the way we look at them." Merciful God, we begin this period we Christians observe as Lent. So on this Ash Wednesday, open us to know you and therefore to know ourselves as your people. It is a special time for us to hear your call to repent and to return to you, our God. Help us know that whatever struggles we encounter, you are here to help us. And please give us faithfulness to see life as you do and to be filled with hope and forgiveness. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from 10th. Senator from 15th. A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular.
Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion, it shall prevail. Say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to inquire of the senator from the first.
Does the senator from the first yield?
Yes, Mr. President.
He yields. You may inquire.
Thank you, Senator. I wanted to see if you remember, recall the discussion that we had yesterday while we were talking about the St. Louis local control bill, where we discussed the testimony in committee of the police officer who recounted the his story of some obvious corruption that he alleged had occurred in the city of St. Louis. Do you remember that?
I do recall.
Did you read today the editorial in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch expressing outrage at what was said and demanding an investigation about it? Did you read that?
I missed that, Senator. Was it intriguing?
Well, I missed it too. It wasn't there. Nobody said anything about it. In fact, I read John Combes this morning, and there was no mention of it of that story in any of the stories that were listed in John Combes. What do you think of that?
I think it's outrageous. If there was testimony in a Senate hearing,
yes,
on a bill and someone who came to testify, I guess shared with you, you're on that committee, right, Senator?
Yes, I am.
Shared with you this account that there would be some type of investigation, and at least a story demanding an investigation.
You would think that someone would demand an investigation. I mean, this police officer, one of St. Louis's finest, stood up in committee and said that a street vendor held up at the card of an alderman in the city of St. Louis and said, "I paid my fee to this guy." And nobody has asked the question, who was it? Nobody seems to care. It's like there's a conspiracy of silence, Senator. Somebody needs to ask that question. Don't you think?
I think so, Senator, and I think that this is some of the concerns that we've talked about, you know, as far as, you know, has this ever happened before? Have we ever had this type of thing that
went
down? Well,
I think we have our former state representatives sits in prison right now for doing something very similar. And yet, and I'm left to wonder, is this so commonplace that the various officials in St. Louis think that it's just okay to shake down someone for the money? I mean, this is if true, it's outrageous. And I don't hear anybody, not one single member of the press asking, not one single alderman. I would think that the alderman in the city of St. Louis would be outraged because it casts a shadow over each one of them. Each one of them who is innocent of this ought to be saying, hey, we need to know who this was. And in fact, the mayor of the city of St. Louis ought to stand up and have a press conference and say, if there is any corruption in my city, we will root it out. Don't you think?
I think you have valid concerns, Senator, and it's valid to bring it up before this body.
Well, I mean, if, you know, as a senator, I feel like maybe I can make a difference. Maybe, Senator, maybe tomorrow, in tomorrow's newspaper, we will read something about this event, and I will be talking to you about it tomorrow. How about that?
That'd be good. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you for the inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
We remain on the order of business of introduction of guests. The Senator from the 8th.
Introduction of guests. Over to your right and my left, we have the physician of the day, Dr. Sean Feldher. He's from Green Valley, and with him is also Noel Torpy, which is a representative from Independence. If we could make them feel welcome, I would appreciate
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from the 8th to the Missouri Senate. The Senator from Franklin.
I have an introduction of a special guest. We have with us this morning Rachel Howe, and she's already diligently at work. Her father, Ron Howe, is with us. They're from Baldwin, and I would ask that Rachel be made a page for the day to serve without
Rachel
compensation.
Rachel shall be a page for the day to serve at compensation to be paid by the Senator from Franklin. And let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Franklin to the Missouri Senate. Please rise. And the Senator from the 2nd is on his feet. I think a very special introduction.
Yes, Mr. President, I have an introduction, and then I want to introduce some good friends from St. Charles County over on the side gallery. I have a very, very impressive young lady named Sarah Von Hartz. We'll be talking about her a little bit more when it comes to resolution time. But she's also here with her parents, Shannon and Benjamin Von Hartz, along with their friend Lily Jackson, Chris Jackson, and Trudy Giancola. If they wanted to be welcomed by the Missouri Senate, we're very happy.
Will all the guests of the Senator from St. Charles please rise for recognition by the Missouri Senate?
Have Lily and Sarah named pages of the day to serve without compensation if they wish to. That would be very acceptable.
That would be great. They shall be made pages for the day. Further introductions. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions. Senator from the 2nd.
Mr. President, I have a resolution.
Send it forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask that it be read.
Read the resolution being brought forward by Rachel.
Senate Resolution 484, offered by Senators Roop and Dempsey. Whereas the members of the Missouri Senate proudly pause to recognize an outstanding young Missouri citizen who has distinguished herself as a leader of her peers, and whereas Sarah Von Hartz of St. Charles, Missouri, a junior at Francis Howell North High School, is to be commended for her efforts to establish a cheerleading squad for children with special needs, and whereas Adrenaline Explosion Cheerleading currently operates through the Northside Gymnastic Academy in O'Fallon and works with children of all disabilities and ages ranging from 5 through 18. And whereas the squad was created with heart and a vision to help special needs children by promoting self-esteem, teamwork, exercise, patience, and perseverance. And whereas Sarah loves to cheer and got the idea to start a special squad after watching her brother, who has autism, try to do her routines while sitting on the sidelines. And whereas Sarah has achieved all of this and more with the love and support of her proud family, including her parents, Benjamin and Shannon Von Hartz, her siblings, Nicholas, Catherine, and Matthew, teachers and friends. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the members of the Missouri Senate, 96th General Assembly, join in extending our most hearty congratulations to Sarah Von Hartz at this proud moment of well-deserved distinction, and in wishing her only the very best of success in all her future endeavors. And be it further resolved that the Secretary of the Senate be instructed to prepare a properly inscribed copy of this resolution for Sarah Von Hartz.
Thank you, Senator.
For the adoption of the resolution.
Does any senator wish to be heard on the motion, Senator from the second?
Mr. President, before I close, I'd like to say a few comments on the resolution.
You'll have that opportunity. Hearing no other senator, Senator, you are recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I close, I'll say a few brief words. This young lady embodies everything that's just good and right in the world. This is someone that saw her brother that was struggling on wanting to fit in, you know, to the world and be able to do some of the things that maybe society says that you can't do. She was tired of people saying that you can't do this, and so she wanted to find a way that her brother could do the things that she gets to enjoy. So as an initiative, she came up with this idea, wrote her own business plan without the help of anyone else, took this business plan to a local business, went before, sat down and said, I have an idea of how we could create this squad that would help kids with special needs to be able to feel the same excitement that I get to feel and also turn it into a business proposition for the gym owner. So she did this all on her own. She pitched it on her own. She got approval. They said, sure, we're going to try this. We're going to start this. And immediately this squad has blossomed. You know, and now she has her local her friends at high school that are, instead of on their Saturdays off, you know, hanging out with their boyfriends and things, are volunteering their time to come up and work with these kids on this special needs cheerleading squad. And then even on top of that, she said, well, what if they could get credit for this or for trying to get their A-plus scholarship and use this as their tutoring hours? So she even had the forethought to even do that to get more kids to be involved. And I got to witness the cheerleading competition. Now imagine at the convention center in St. Charles County, there was maybe 1,500 screaming adults and kids there. There were cheerleading squads from all over the country, from Tennessee, from Kentucky, from Illinois. They were all competing. And then all of a sudden, here comes the adrenaline explosion cheerleading squad. Everybody got on their feet. Everybody started to cheer the loudest I ever have heard people cheer at any competition. And there was not a dry eye in the room when that squad finished their competition. It was a standing ovation that lasted about 5 to 6 minutes of just people just so excited to see that somebody had an idea, put it into practice, and she is affecting not only her family and her brother that she wanted to, but she's affecting the lives of so many people around her. And I just think that we need more people like this young lady, and I would just hope that everyone would join me in passing this resolution to honor her for her amazing work. She has a bright future, and we're just glad she's a Missourian.
Senator, I would say to you and to this young lady, we've had many distinguished guests in the Missouri Senate. The Tony La Russa, the manager of the Cardinals, Coach Anderson from the Mizzou Tigers, Coach Pinkel from the football team, but rarely have we had a more special guest than Sarah is with us today. Let's welcome her to the Missouri Senate. Standing up. Congratulations.
Mr. President.
Senator renews his motion on adoption of the resolution honoring Sarah. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is adopted. You are official. We are on the order of business of resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from the 23rd. Oh, Senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask for unanimous consent to introduce a guest.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you. To my right and to your left on the other side of the chamber, we have the Honorable Francis Slay, Mayor of the City of St. Louis, will be in the Capitol today. I ask that this body give him a warm welcome.
Let's welcome our friend, the Mayor of St. Louis, Francis Slay.
One of the little ladies.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 55.
Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 55. Senator from Phelps.
President, I move that Senate Bill number 55 be called from the informal calendar and take it up for perfection.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us for perfection, sir.
Mr. President, what Senate Bill 55 does is it attempts to classify or reclassify sawmills, particularly the smaller mills and the planing mills. We've really narrowed this down with a Senate substitute that I would like to introduce at this time. And it has been distributed, so we can dispense with the reading. And I move for its adoption, Mr. President.
By one of the pages. And did you move for adoption, Senator?
Yes, I did.
Okay, proceed with your explanation. It has been distributed. Reading is way.
Yes. Mr. President, members of the body, this has come up many years in the past. And, you know, down in my area and south of my area, one of the representatives from Shannon County that is term limited out now, he and I had this kind of passion to try to keep some of these real small mills open, because they're about the only source of jobs and income for some of our very small communities in some of our less populated counties. And what this bill would do would reclassify them from their current commercial status to an agricultural status. Now that results in their tax rate going from a 32% to 12%, according to my assessor. And the economic impact, because with some help from the senator from the 13th, we have narrowed this down to really do what we need to do to help our area. And I think that's the important thing. You know, as we're talking about more and more small towns going to renewables and using wood byproducts and wood chips to help generate some of their energy, this is an important time. This would be a bit of a boost for these small mills. So we want to give them just a bit of help. And this bill really does limit coverage to the small mills and the planing mills. And if you refer to their classification, it only addresses 2421 sawmills and planing mills, and I do have a list, and these are the small guys that I see in our area really struggling, which affects the guys that are cutting logs, that buy chainsaws, that buy trucks, that do contribute to our local communities. Any further questions? I'll try to answer those.
Senator from St. Francois.
Inquire the senator from Popes.
Does the senator yield?
I do.
If he yields, you may inquire.
Senator, it seems like the last 2 days you've been on mills.
Yes, I have.
This has nothing to do with puppy mills.
Has nothing to do with puppy mills.
Sawmills.
Sawmills.
You know, I have counties down there, Carter, Reynolds, right. Iron, Washington, that all have mills in it. This past few years with the economics of the country and the housing markets down, it's been devastating. We have part of Carter County that has 85% free and reduced lunch in the schools. The only industry they have is the logging industry. And I applaud your effort for trying to make these areas have some jobs. We complain when they don't have, we have to give their schools more money are a disproportionate share because they don't have any local tax, because they don't have any local jobs. The only thing we have are the mills, and in order to keep them viable, these people are not making much money, but to keep them viable, they've got to have these type of situations. I appreciate it. Are you talking about your area down in Crawford?
Crawford and Dent, Shannon. And like I say, last year I worked quite a bit with the rep from Shannon. His was a passion of his, and he didn't get to see it pass through both houses. And so if he happens to be listening today, this is part of his benefits as well.
I think it's already passed through the House, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you for the inquiry.
Senator from Jefferson.
Inquire the sponsor of the
Does
substitute.
The Senator yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, this is more of a grammatical question. On page 2 of your substitute.
Yes, sir.
At the end, it says sawmill or planing. Should that be planing mill?
It's a planing mill. There's an N left out. You're absolutely right.
Is it supposed to be planing or is it supposed to be planing mill?
It's supposed to be a planing mill. And actually, that is right. It is spelled
that right.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You're right.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Senator from the 11th.
May I inquire of the...
Does the Senator yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I don't want to delay your bill. One thing, you know, this is one of these bills that has been around the legislature quite a while. I know you work with the Senator from 13th. You referred to that you narrowed this. Have you addressed the issue that comes up, and it's your area, so I kind of, you know, really defer to your judgment on this, but have you had any discussion with the school districts? Noticed they didn't testify against it, so I was just
right.
They had perennially been the opponents to this, and I was just wondering if what you worked out with the Senator from 13th narrowed it to the extent to where
they seem to be satisfied and happy with this bill. It's going to have minimal impact on their income. It's going to be a very small shift of taxes. And I think they realize the importance as these mills are closing daily. I mean, these are the small mills, guys. This is hard work. It's dirty work. And the guys hauling logs in there, it's not a great life, but we need to give them a lifeline right now. Give them a bit of
Well, and I don't disagree. And I guess the school districts maybe realize that if the sawmill shuts, nobody gets much of anything, right?
You know, and the school districts were exactly right. The bill has probably been too broad in the past, and I would be glad to share this list to you. These are pretty basic mills and planing mills, and therefore they're okay with this.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much.
Senator wished to be heard on the motion of the Senator from Phelps to adopt the substitute. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you to inquire the Senator from Phelps.
Does the Senator yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, I apologize. It has just been brought to my attention. I guess I've got at least one school district, if not more. The one that I need to do some research into, and I actually have my staff working on it right now, calling them. It is our understanding that the sawmill that's there is about 50% of their revenue. They're very concerned. This literally just came up within the last 15 to 20 minutes. And so I just feel like I need to do my due diligence on that. It's not my intent to hold this up. however, in case there's an amendment or something that needs to be done that can bring clarification, I would like to not perfect this at this point so that I can, I guess, do my job, for lack of a better term. It's not my intent to kill this. It is my intent to thoroughly
at least have that
opportunity.
I would really like for you to share the list of the mills that are affected. These mills, you know, what I think most schools have determined or what they feel, that by narrowing this down has minimal impact on their income, and the hope is that giving these guys a bit of a tax break, they're going to invest in some new equipment. Their equipment is absolutely worn out. They're operating on a shoestring as far as people right now, and the hope is that we're going to invest in some better equipment. I'm sure it's not going to be enough money to buy new equipment because these mills, the expense is unbelievable. And the people hauling logs in there have a little more stable market. So I think in the long run, most schools, if they look at this and what we've narrowed it down to now, will be supportive of this measure.
So I'm trying to find my binder here. I know, and that's the, and it may be a situation that once I have a chance to visit with them, this isn't as big an issue as it may not be an issue at all, to be very candid with you, but I think that I need to check that box. So what's the bill number on this again?
The Senate Bill 55, and I think the floor substitute is the one you should look at. And okay. I have some nice copies that clearly delineate what mills that could utilize this this reclassification.
I need to get a copy of the sub.
And it strictly is property tax, does not affect any personal
thank you
property tax.
Okay. All right, so in the past, this, what's, help me understand what you were doing different this time than what you've done in the past.
The if you look on the second page, the agriculture and horticultural property shall include sawmill or planing mill, and that's defined in U.S. Department of Labor Standard Industrial, the SIC manual, under Industry Group 242, and this only applies to the SIC number of 2421. And those mills are the mills that cut cants, resaw, ceiling lumber, and it can be dressed, chipper mills, custom sawmills, cut stock, and it goes all the way down to something called tobacco hogs hedge stock, which no one knows what that is. That's down south, I guess. And it does take the cooperage firms out. They are actually under 2426, and flooring companies, those companies that I think the schools have been most concerned about, furniture companies, gun stocks, any of the manufacturing side has been taken out, and I think that's what's made it very palatable this year for the schools, and they're looking at long-term as far as providing a stock of the chips, and as well as having very little effect. The fiscal note was started out to be 4 million statewide, and after we narrowed this down, they basically don't recognize much of a change. It's a tax rate reduced from 32% to 12%.
That's the so if the let's assume the sawmill's worth $1 million today, they'd be taxed at the 33% or the 30% bracket. Is that right?
Exactly.
And we're reclassifying it
as agriculture, which most of us feel, you know, anything you look at agriculture, lumber mills, unless they're a step up into the manufacturing realm, are pretty much considered by all of us and treated as the Department of Agriculture as agricultural property, but in the tax code they've been treated differently in the past. And it's been a big struggle to get this forward.
So in the past, this hasn't moved because?
It was too broad.
So there were more mills or more? Like who was brought into it in the past that's not in it now?
Would you repeat? I didn't know.
Well, when you say it was more broad, I guess, right. I'm trying to understand. A sawmill is a sawmill, so how's it?
In the past, the classification including the barrel heading and staves, cooperage stock mills, those have been taken out. The shingle mills, the wood shingle mills have been taken out. Any of the furniture manufacturers or the hardwood flooring people have been taken out. That's considered, gun stock manufacturers. Those have all been taken out of the classification of where we're trying to get this help.
You know, Senator, here's what I need to do is I need to have the opportunity to visit with my constituent, and it might be a deal where, you know, where one can't be the obstacle of many, but before this is perfected, I would prefer we do that. If there's any way to put this on the informal calendar to give us some time, that's what I would prefer to do. I mean, I'm looking to see if there's a emergency clause or a time sensitivity in this particular bill, and I don't see anything.
There is no emergency clause on this bill. I think we probably do have an emergency in the industry.
Three senators now on the floor. For what purpose does the senator from Clay seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests to the Missouri Senate.
If there is no objection, and I hear none, proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we're honored today to have a lot of people from my district that are at Immaculata Manor in Liberty, Missouri. Upstairs, they're in the pink shirts. We have the staff, Stacy Bratcher, Stacy Coons, Ashley Williams, Christina Winters, Kathy Alexander, Amanda Martinez, Wendy Wells, and Connie Harrison. And also the participants, we have Debbie, Vicky, Liz, Kara, Rose, Sarah Jane, and Tia up there. So I would appreciate it if the Missouri Senate would make my guests from Immaculata Manor feel welcome to the Missouri Senate.
Will all the guests of the senator from Clay please rise for recognition by the Senate? Senator from Johnson is also seeking recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. If there are no objections, I'd like to also introduce some very special
guests. Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you. I have the honor of introducing the Nevada, Missouri Lady Tigers. They are the state champions in the Class 3A, and their head coach is Tammy Holcomb. Their assistant coach is Ryan Talley. And they had a wonderful overall record of 23-5. And so I would like for them to stand. I'd like for them to stand. And not only are they great athletes, but they are great students. And they have a team GPA of 3.5%. So they are great athletes and great students. Welcome the Nevada Lady Tigers.
Wow, let's welcome the special guest of the Senator from Johnson from Nevada to the Missouri Senate. And the Senator from Phelps has the floor. Is the inquiry finished between you and the Senator from Andrew?
Mr. President, I would ask that bill be laid on the informal calendar for...
Shall be laid on the informal calendar. Yep. Senator from 23rd, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Yeah, send it forward, Senator.
Your Committee on Rules has a report.
Send it forward by one of the pages who should come out and get it and bring it up to the dais. Read the committee report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 135, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been duly enrolled and that the printed copies furnished to senators are correct. Also, Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bills 113 and 95 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been duly enrolled and that the printed copies furnished to senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've got two bills, a Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bills 113 and 95, and Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 135, and I'd ask that you please refer those bills to Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight.
They will be so referred. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. There were two bills on the informal calendar that I would have liked to have gone to that I announced yesterday, but I cannot do that because those members are not on the floor. So I will go to the Senate Bills for Perfection formal calendar.
Senate Bills for Perfection formal calendar. Senate Bill 130. Senator from the 2nd. Senator from the 2nd. Center, the 23rd.
What's that?
Mr. President, would you place that bill on the informal calendar?
It will be placed on informal calendar. Senate Bill 163, Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 163 with committee substitute be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from Johnson. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill number 163 be adopted. I'd like to explain the bill. Before I do that, someone, when I was mentioning the Nevada Lady Tigers team, somebody said, what sport? What sport? And I think I didn't even say what sport it was, but it's softball, right? So they are the softball state champions, so I wanted to mention
that. Thank you for that information, Senator.
All right, it's not football or wrestling, it is softball. Okay, so anyway, we're glad to have them. They're going to be having lunch right outside my office around noon today. Senate Bill 163 deals with curators at the University of Missouri. The number of curators is based on congressional districts. As we know, we have 9 congressional districts, and due to the recent census, we are now going to lose a congressional seat. We're going to go from 9 down to 8. This bill simply takes that into consideration. It will still allow us to have 9 members on the University of Missouri Board of Curators. There would be 1 per legislative congressional district, and then there would be 1 somewhat chosen at large, but there would never be more than 2 per congressional district. It was such a great idea that Missouri State University, they decided to come on board with this bill, and the Coordinating Board of Higher Education, that is also how their board is determined as well. And so that's what the Senate Committee Substitute deals with, and there was some minor language change that we had to do because there's some wordage changed in the Department of Higher Education. Be glad to answer any questions, or if not, I renew my motion.
Senator from Johnson has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 163. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from 13th, what purpose do you...
Mr. President, can I inquire the senator from Johnson?
Senator from Johnson, do you yield?
I do.
You yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Senator, what are we doing with the Coordinating Board of Higher Education? I understand the portion dealing with the University of Missouri Board of Curators. What are we doing with the Coordinating Board for Higher Education? Could you explain that to me?
Yeah, they also have members on the Coordinating Board from each congressional district, 9. And so what would happen is they would go from 9 down to 8. And so it would also apply to them that they could have that 9th member, even though we'd only have 8 congressional districts.
What's the mission of the Coordinating Board? And let me explain to you where I'm going, and if we would really want to delve into the issue a little further. We have a lot of state universities throughout the state, and throughout the 1990s, a lot of these different universities went, and they came forward and said, we want to expand our mission. And basically, by expanding their mission, they said there would be no cost to the taxpayer. But when they expanded their mission, eventually there was a cost to the taxpayer because they expanded the degrees they offered because they have expanded their mission. In the era of cutting back, and we have seen throughout the state several universities, I think I read about Southeast Missouri, I think I even read about the University of Missouri, Columbia, have cut back on several of their degree programs and consolidated because we just cannot afford to have all these programs. So for years, I have always said the Coordinating Board for Higher Education should just be the Board for Higher Education because they don't coordinate anything. We have each university as their own entity, or like in St. Louis County with our municipal governments, their own kingdoms, and they don't work to provide affordable higher education by coordinating with other universities so we do not have all these duplications of different degrees all throughout the state. Now, in saying that, I don't want to create the argument that, like in St. Louis with the University of Missouri St. Louis, with the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Because we have two private universities, Washington University and St. Louis University, people would come to say, well, you have it being offered in private, why should you have public? And then becoming parochial, I want an engineering program for those individuals that can't afford or do not want to go further in debt, taking out a student loan and going away to school. But I've always had a problem with the idea of the Coordinating Board of Higher Education because I really don't think they coordinate anything. Did I give you my statement that you probably have heard from other people as well, or is this the first time you're hearing
it? I've heard it, but I haven't heard it from you. Okay. I do think that, you know, for years, the phrase was the coordinating board doesn't. Coordinating board doesn't.
Just do a simple amendment now that we have it to eliminate the word coordinating. So it's just the Board of Higher Education.
Well, I agree with you, Senator. I think that since higher education is a statewide mission, we come up with statewide policy that we need to have one organization that does coordinate that. And especially these scarce resources, we can't afford to waste money and be inefficient with our universities.
I have not witnessed higher education institutions, whether they be the presidents or the chancellors, truly coordinate. That's where my frustration is. Mm-hmm. And it came, and God, I am starting to sound like people I said I'd never sound like. Because when I came in, I was this timid 24-year-old dark-haired individual, and I remember one of the first debates in the Missouri House back in 1989 or 1990, and it was about the Coordinating Board of Higher Education. I remember it like yesterday. Education was not my expertise. Higher education. It took me 9 years to get my bachelor's degree, so that shows you higher education was not my expertise. But I remember one legislator getting up saying, Coordinating Board for Higher Education, there's nothing they coordinate. And then getting in the different positions in my tenure in the legislature, I remember when I was budget chairman trying to get them to assist in finding ways to cut cost because higher ed has so much general revenue dollars coming to it.
Right.
I got them all in a room. We met at the Capitol Plaza. I says, can you do anything to help us balance this budget? Nobody really stepped up because they had all their own empires and they didn't want to work together. And then I see each university trying to make cutbacks so that they do not have to raise tuition, but they're having to raise tuition because of the economic times, but not coordinating anything very well. So I guess at this stage of the game, all you're trying to do is deal with the congressional
Correct.
Makeup of the district. And I don't want to delay that, but you just don't have time. So if I could get an amendment drafted just to take the word coordinating out of it so that my statement and frustration as an elected leader over these last years and leave it up to the will of the body and just call it the Board of Higher Education because they don't coordinate anything. And through my education in higher education institutions in the state, I understand what the word coordinating means. I don't think they do. So I'd just probably like to take that word out at this stage.
If you don't mind my asking, are you planning on doing it just with the Board of Curators when it comes to that?
No, I'm just doing it with the Coordinating Board of Higher Education.
Just wanted to remove
that. Not with the Board of Curators or anything. I just want to eliminate the word coordinating so that it would read Board of Higher Education. Take out coordinating so that they can hear the legislature do not think they coordinate too well.
Yeah.
Here's where we're going to with mm-hmm. community colleges in watching where everything goes. Community colleges, it when they were created, was to give communities higher education, the basics, you can take the first 2 years and allow those communities. They were always funded by the communities. Well, when financial times were good, especially in the 90s, the community colleges came up and said, well, you give capital improvement projects to the statewide higher education institutions. We want a cut of that pie too now because we're offering it. Well, you're taking you're bringing on a liability that when it was created was not a liability for the state, was a liability for the local community, passing a local property tax to create the community college network. They cannot get resources from their local tax base, so they're just like everyone else. Where do we go? We go to the state. And when you get your community colleges that come to the state, it's hard to say no to them. But in all essence, you have to say the idea of community colleges when they were created was for the community to provide for right. those colleges. We're just demanding too much out-of-state resources, and we don't have a coordinating board of higher education that coordinates everything. So maybe all I'm saying is just get rid of the word coordinating. I'm not here. There have been bills I have introduced over the years that have said eliminate the coordinating board of higher education because they'd save money and just make it a board of education. Mm-hmm. Elementary and secondary, I think that was one of the issues we came up with last year, wasn't it? Coordinating, just
right.
making one complete board of education to
right.
try to save some resources. I think we even passed it,
yeah, it
in
passed
the Senate.
Overwhelmingly in the Senate.
But it died in the House.
Right.
But creating a board of education, well, maybe creating that dialogue again this year by just eliminating the word coordinating from it will create the dialogue. But I just do not see them coordinating to solve the issue at hand. We're not going to, this year, and you and I serve on appropriations, we're talking about this $750 million shortfall next year because these federal funds won't be there. At the same time, we're holding up right now, out of respect to the senators that are, I'm not here to critique them, but $189 million in supplemental for this fiscal year. So the resources aren't going to be there. These higher education institutions have to start coordinating more together. And I know, once again, we're dealing with just the makeup, but let's delve into the issue of higher education a little bit and try to save some of these resources. And I guess what I'm doing with this amendment that they're working on is making a statement. I don't think you coordinate.
The
and you're one of the nicest senators on this floor, and I feel very awkward trying to put a wrinkle in your nice straight bill, but this is something that, well, I am a senator. I can get up on the floor and
That's
try
right.
to change things
That's
without
right.
without offending my colleagues yeah. because I have a different
I do think,
thought pattern.
The governor's academic review process that started last fall that had every public university go through their programs and determine which ones they want to keep or which ones should be reduced.
Yeah,
they've
gotten rid of a few anthropology classes I've read.
That's probably true. And I think
I took that too, and I hated that class,
by
the way.
Yeah. Did you pass?
Yes, I did pass, but I thought I'd like it because at that time Raiders of the Lost Ark was a popular movie,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it'd be pretty cool to take it, and I'll tell you what, it was a complete nightmare.
Yeah, it wasn't as glamorous as it
No, not at all.
The
I have not used that knowledge in my career afterwards.
Yeah, not at all, huh?
No.
Okay.
Nor have I used the introduction to art, the columns. I guess I could use that education to talk about the different types of styles of columns in a filibuster, but I'm not trying to do that.
Okay.
On you, Bill.
The academic review process, I think, is working well. And that is, I think, forcing our public colleges to see what is their mission. And then the Department of Higher Education is somewhat going through all of those recommendations and determining can they afford it or whose mission is it? Or are
you know
there
what I think?
Classes that nobody needs? I mean, sometimes we just get stuck and that's what we did 10 years and 20 and 30 years ago. And does anybody really need that? And are we having classes for what we really need? And that's to meet the job market of the day.
Sometimes with those committees and those studies, it was kind of like bringing on a different issue. Under three governors, it was Governor Carnahan, Governor Holden, and Governor Blunt. We always say, let's do a study on the conditions of the roads in the state of Missouri. You know, we had about four or five studies done in the last 10 years. We lack the resources to rebuild our infrastructure in the state. That's what they all come up with, but
right.
nobody wants to deal with the issue of how you get those resources. The same thing with higher education, and especially with term limits. Let's do another study. We'll put that study on a shelf. There'll be new legislators that'll come in, and we'll do a study when they bring up the issue, too. These people in the higher education, academics, did you ever see Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield?
I did. It's been
you know the best
ago.
Part of that movie is?
What?
The economics professor gets up there, and he uses widgets, and he does, I think when we did economics in our books, it wasn't it always Acme Company and mm-hmm. widgets Acme. Here, widgets mm-hmm. there, and the economics professor's getting up there and saying, this is the way it's done, and this is how you start a business, and Rodney Dangerfield, who had an eighth grade education in the movie, basically gets up and says, no, that's not how it works. So the academics sometimes don't get it right. I know they don't get it right in political science because when I took political science on state politics, it is nothing like it is in in real life up here.
Right.
There's some other extenuating circumstances to come into play on every piece of legislation. That the and that's the senator from St. Charles reminded me I did pass a bill that someday with my bachelor's degree I can teach political science in higher education institutions, but once taking the word coordinating out, I'm sure a lot of them won't want to invite me to teach at their facilities either. Are we working on that as I discuss this? What do you think? Are you going to speak against it?
I probably will. Okay. And you're one of the nicest senators here on the floor, you know. So, I hate to go against, I can't see.
Mike, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Interrupt us. You got guests.
For Senator from Cole, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I seek unanimous consent for the introduction of some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like the Missouri State Senate today to help me welcome to my left and to your right students from Lincoln University who are participating in the Missouri Association of Social Welfare Student Lobby Day today. They're all with Lincoln University from right here in Jefferson City. Professor Deborah Ward observing the proceeding with Professor Deborah Ward observing the proceedings in the Missouri House and right now in the Senate. I would ask the Missouri Senate to give them a warm welcome and for them to rise and be recognized.
Would the guests of the Cole please wave and please rise, and the senators please make them feel welcome. Senator from the 23rd, are you seeking recognition? Senator from the 13th.
I believe I still have the floor.
You still have the floor. I had another senator up. I'm just checking.
I believe thank you, Senator. I believe I have an amendment.
Has the amendment been distributed?
No. I ask that it be distributed, and I won't close until it has been.
Hearing no objection.
You don't want to read it.
Reading will be waived until it is distributed.
Thank you. And I move for the adoption of the amendment.
All right, Senator, would you...
Whoa. Basically, can I proceed?
We got to get the amendment to the Secretary. Now then. Proceed, Senator, to explain.
This takes... I got to do more than a simple word. It's taking coordinating out everywhere it is referenced in the state statute so that it'll just read Board of Higher Education instead of Coordinating Board. And the reason I want to do this is basically from experiences throughout the last 20 years. Sometimes the higher education officials have a tough time of coordinating things. It only take a minute. Do you want it read? Do you want to read it?
Senator, if you'd like to stand at ease while we get it copied.
If nobody has a question of me, that's fine.
The senator from 13th has moved the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. With unanimous consent, could I introduce some very special guests?
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Visiting today from the 1st District are members of the Big Brothers and the Big Sisters of Amachi, Missouri. I believe they're up in the upper gallery, if they'd stand up. And this program is aimed at keeping children out of the correctional system, which I think certainly is something that we all should hold a very high esteem. And I'm glad that they're here visiting the Capitol today from the 1st District. And, Mr. President, if we could make them feel welcome.
Would the Senate please make the members or the guests of the senator from the 1st feel welcome? Senator from the 3rd, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I'd introduce guests, but I never have any. Could I inquire the senator from the 13th?
Senator from 13th, do you yield?
Yes, Senator, I do.
He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you. I felt sorry for you that nobody wanted to inquire of your riveting amendment to eliminate coordination from the state.
Are you making light of my legislative
I'm not making
package?
Light of it. I heard you were uncoordinated, and I thought I'd stand to
Once
confirm
again,
that.
Once again, you're on the Senate floor damaging my character. That's against the
are
rules.
Are you trying
it?
To make a statement here? I haven't seen it yet, just to the fact that we haven't coordinated anything in years. Is that basically what
That's probably a simpler way to
and
put
this
it.
Is,
you're going to have
truth in advertising. This is there is no.
I tell you what, I should just let you promote this amendment, but that is exactly where I'm getting at. It's going to continue to be the Board of Higher Education. And last year we passed a bill in the Senate just to create one Department of Education.
Do you think there's any cost to this? Is the only, I'm with you because there haven't been any coordinations since I've been up here, but is there any cost to this that we're going to have to print new stationary ink to say just...
No, they can be fiscally responsible, do something outside the box for once, higher education.
Use the stationary up that they have.
I have an office in my other career. We moved in my... Assistant said, do we need to order new stationery? I says, no. We got a P.O. box, too. We can use up what we have. Let's be fiscally responsible.
It's very good. That's why I'm still using Mayor stuff from Farmington.
Mayor of Farmington. But in all seriousness,
I don't have a problem with your amendment. It's making a statement here, but I do want to make sure that not all of our bureaucrats share your frugal nature, and I'd say the signs on the doors will have to be changed, and the signs outside will have to be changed, and I want to make sure that we're just truly making a statement.
If I could
and
get
not
enough,
costing anything.
Here's what I would do. If I could get enough senators to support me, I'd eliminate the Coordinating Board of Higher Education.
I'd be with you.
And I would make it, like we had last year, one Board of Education.
We either need
but
to have something that's effective that can put our not pretend that this is effective.
It's not effective.
It's not
at all.
Effective. And, no. And so either we need to strengthen it and giving it some, because I don't think the powers that be at the universities pay any attention to it.
Pay absolutely no attention to the Coordinating Board of Higher
Education.
So
we either give them more duties, more strengths, or completely eliminate this body.
And I do, and like I said, we all have respect from the senator from Johnson. I am not here because all he's trying to do is the makeup due to the congressional. I'm just here because there's an opportunity to take the word coordinator.
Well,
out.
I think your amendment has been distributed by now.
Yes, it has.
Does any other senator wish to speak on the motion? Senator from the 13th, Senator from Johnson, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President, to speak on the amendment.
Just go ahead, Senator.
I think the senator from the 13th and I share the same sentiment that the Coordinating Board for Higher Education in the past maybe has not coordinated as much as it could or should, that maybe we do have some inefficiencies. I do think that with the academic review process, that's getting better. Obviously, the intent of the bill is to deal with putting folks on the Coordinating Board based on congressional districts. We're losing a district, and I think that's the important thing to remember. And I'm thinking that if we take the word coordinating out, that would not be helpful for this bill. And so I respectfully oppose the amendment, even though I certainly understand where the senator is coming. And I'd urge my colleagues to vote against the amendment.
We're on the motion of the senator from the 13th. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you. I think with the discussion from the senator from Johnson, I've explained this enough. I would appreciate the support of my colleagues to make a statement with eliminating the word coordinating, because in my 20 years, I haven't seen much coordination at all. Thank you.
The senator from the 13th has moved to the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You've adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. We're back on the motion of the senator from Johnson. Does any other senator wish to speak on the motion from Johnson? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Johnson has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 163. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We've adopted the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from Johnson, you're recognized for a perfection motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill Number 163, as amended by the Senate Committee Substitute, and amendment be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion of the senator from the Johnson. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Close.
The senator from Johnson has moved that Senate Bill 163, as amended by the Senate Committee Substitute, be declared perfected and ordered printed. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 163 has been is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator for the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would ask that Senate Bill 145 be placed on the informal calendar.
Senate Bill 145 will be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 203, Senator from the 15th.
Mr. President, would you place that bill on the informal calendar?
It will be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 63, Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 63 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from Stoddard. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill's on the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 63 be perfected. Let me tell you a little bit about what Senate Bill 63 does. It creates a Southeast Missouri Regional Water District, which would consist of Scott, Mississippi, Stoddard, Butler, New Madrid, Pemiscot, and Dunklin counties. The district is created under Section 256.643, and it encompasses the Southeast Lowlands Groundwater Province and Aquifer, which has proven to be a great asset for my district, and some of that is in the Senator from Cape Girardeau's district. And among other things, it helps provide a flourishing agriculture industry there in Southeast Missouri. Aquifer levels generally rise and fall over the seasons. However, there has been scientific evidence brought forth that shows that an aquifer may be tapped to an extent that it is unable to recover and replenish itself. And what this bill does, it just seeks to protect our aquifer from a major water user. That is an entity that would divert over 100,000 gallons of water a day and divert it from within the district that is formed in this bill and convey that water outside the district when it is shown that it unduly interferes with the reasonable and customary activities of a major water user using the water within the district. And this is a very, very important issue for the southeast part of the state. And with that, Mr. President, I renew my motion and I'm open for inquiry.
Senator, just for my clarity, did you move for the adoption of the
Oh, I need to move for the
motion?
Adoption of the substitute?
No, there's no substitute.
Okay.
Just for the perfection motion.
Yeah, I move that Senate Bill 63 be perfected and ordered printed.
Okay, you've heard the motion of the senator from Stoddard. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion?
Seeing none, the senator from Stoddard is recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Stoddard has moved that Senate Bill 63 be ordered declared perfected and printed. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 63 is declared perfected and printed.
And ordered printed.
Senate Bill,
Senator from the
23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'll go back to the Senate bills for perfection informal calendar. Senate Bill 161.
We are on the order of business for Senate bills for perfection on the informal calendar.
Senate Bill 161.
Senate Bill 161.
Senator from Lewis.
Mr. President.
Senator from Lewis. Senator from Lewis.
Yes, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 161 be called from the informal calendar and be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Lewis. As many are of the opinion that the motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Lewis, do you care to explain your bill?
Yes, Mr. President. This bill just expands the authority of the Missouri Agriculture Small Business Development Authority to grant loans and guarantee loans to agribusinesses. Currently, they only grant it to agriculture producers. There are no tax credits associated with the Missouri Value Added Loan Guarantee. The Missouri Agriculture and Small Business Development Authority, known as MASDA, issues a 50% guarantee on loans made to Missouri farmers for value-added type loans. This guarantee is backed by general revenue. This change would add agribusinesses to eligible borrowers in addition to the farmers. And this is the only change in Senate Bill 161. And I'd be glad to answer any questions, Mr. President.
Thank you. Does any other senator wish to be heard? You've heard the motion of the senator from Lewis. Senator from the second.
Seek unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
Hearing no objection.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the upper gallery, I got a school group from St. Charles County, Missouri. Okay. No, I'm sorry, Mr. President, that's not my school group. Those are just a group of kids that decided fifth grade isn't for everybody, and they're here to apply for work in the senator from the seventh office. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. We are on the order of business of Senate bills for perfection on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 161. Does any other senator wish to be heard?
President, to inquire.
Senator from the 13th.
To inquire the senator from Lewis.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield?
I do.
The senator does.
Morning. I don't want to make a mission of getting up on everyone's bill here, but
we
got a fiscal note to general revenue dollars from zero to unknown.
Glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I am too.
Actually, you know, these loans go through your local lending institutions, your banks first. And they are very scrupulous when they look at what loans that they provide. In the history of this program, and I don't have the exact date it started, there's only been one default. And actually, they were able to recoup a lot of the equity that was in that loan. So as we look at this, the cost has been very minimal. And if you look back, you've got the fiscal note, I guess.
Yes.
If you look back here in the assumptions from the Department of Ag, I believe it is in fourth paragraph down in the assumptions. It says they have historically had a low default rate, and I think a one default is very low default rate.
Estimated net effect to all funds expected to exceed $100,000 savings, and then estimated net effect on general revenue expected to exceed $100,000. I don't want to stand in the way of these programs and everything, but we have to seriously sit down when we're passing these bills and expansions of what the costs are going to be. And when a fiscal note says zero to unknown, we have to worry about where these costs are going. The other night, I was listening
I was telling the senator from the first, or maybe it was the senator from Boone, but I don't want to shock people, but I listen to news shows a lot, and they had David Stockman. David Stockman was the budget director for President Reagan. He was about 35, 36 years old. He had gray hair, highly intelligent, like all gray-haired people are. And he came up with the idea of the trickle-down economics. And in his statement, he said, yeah, there was a lot of growth during the Reagan era, but he says the problem with the deficit started in 1980. We had a $1 trillion deficit. Today we got about a $15 trillion. Democrats and Republicans are all guilty for this $15 trillion deficit. And what he said, what we started doing in 1980s at the federal level, so we started giving all these tax breaks to spur the economy at the same time increasing expenditures. And then last night I was watching a presentation by the former senator from Wyoming, Simpson, and Erskine Bowles. They were the co-chairs of the deficit reduction, bipartisan, five Dems, five Republicans, to deal with this deficit that we are dealing with, but our grandchildren and our children are going to have to deal with. And they, at the same time, were saying in the next 2 years, there's going to be an economic apocalypse of some sort if we don't get this under control. I'm saying those statements in dealing with your simple loan agribusiness deal to say we have a bill probably good to help agribusiness that has a fiscal note that says zero to unknown of general revenue dollars.
Sir.
And next year we're going to have to cut over 700 million general revenue dollars. So we've got to start slowing these type of things down.
Senator, where did you see the 100,000?
On the fiscal note that I have printed out, and on the second page of the fiscal note, it states...
Are either one of those boxes checked?
Are either one of the boxes checked?
Yeah. Is that where you're seeing it? I'm looking down
here. I'm looking at the... after the fiscal note, at the bottom of the fiscal note, now mine was printed off. It states estimated total net effect of all funds are on general revenue fund expected to exceed $100,000.
What's your LR number?
01I.
On the fiscal note?
Yep. No, the fiscal note LR number is 0993-01.
So is mine. The only place that I see...
I wouldn't lie to you about what I'm reading.
I believe you. I believe you. But, you know, you bring up a good point, though. But like I said, we have to at some point...
Now, wait 1 minute, okay?
Yes?
This is our first year serving together.
Isn't
when
right?
Have I not brought up a good point?
I didn't say you hadn't either.
You said you bring up a good point. I just said, when have I not brought up?
When we look at the lending institutions, and I'll just plug our rural banks, our rural lending institutions, is where most of these businesses are. They've got a very good track record. They weren't the ones that were going down and losing assets. Also, in Mazda, they have a very good board that looks at all these businesses, the farmers, the producers, before any of these loans were ever put out. And that's why I believe in the past, and I'm going to say 20 because I think it's right close to 20 years they've been offering this. It might be 15, but that's why they have such a good record as far as any losses. And I don't look for that to change any at all in the future. Matter of fact, I think...
You're expecting the savings to pay for the cost.
I'm expecting the new businesses generated, which will provide jobs, because this is helping your agribusinesses to probably expand their business, to build, add on to their business, you know, buildings, whatever, feed stores, all of that. Plus, hopefully it would expand the income, the revenue generated in the local economies.
Here, I'm one of 8 Democrats in the Missouri Senate. But anyone that has ever served with me knows I am very cost conscious. I always say I'm the kind of Democrat that pays his credit card bills off at the end of every month. Okay? You've got to have the money to be able to make the loans to the businesses. I'm not trying to stand in the way of your program, as your program says, but we have seriously have to start looking. Then a fiscal note comes in, there's going to be a cost to general revenue of $100,000 or more, but it's unknown. We got to look at that.
It's never been $100,000.
Okay. All right, you've made your case. Mr. President.
Senator from the 13th.
Can I inquire the senator from Howell?
Senator from Howell. Is the senator from Howell in the chamber? The senator does not appear to be in the chamber. Sergeant at Arms, please summon the senator from Howell. Yes. Come in and just say something from Hound.
Yes. And then be sure to get in between them before they start. Center from Green, from the 13th is sometimes hard to stop, but just you've got to control the floor.
So I just say Center from.
Yes, Center from Hound. You yield to Center from the 13th. Say yes, Center from 13th, you may proceed.
Okay.
Be sure to get it in.
Okay.
Like I said, right now it doesn't make any difference, but when you get into a heated debate, it makes a big difference. And so whoever's president has to control the floor. And that's your job.
What's this? What's he trying to tell me?
I think he's actually talking to the secretary.
Okay.
But she.
This thing is smart.
Okay.
Senator from Howell, do you yield to inquiry?
I yield.
Senator from 13th, you may proceed.
I'm the one inquiring of you, Senator.
Yeah, I've been listening on my speaker.
I'm not going to be one of these people with all these programs coming up trying to. I don't want to get the idea that I'm being an obstructionist, but you well know when I've ever seen fiscal notes, I come up and say, okay, how are we going to pay this? Are you familiar with this program that we're talking about in this bill on Senate Bill 161?
Yeah, it's the, we're talking on the.
Yeah, and it has a fiscal note to general revenue of a cost of zero to unknown, and then it says it's could be a cost of $100,000 to general revenue. Does this bill then proceed to your oversight and you look at it and see what the cost is?
Well, typically we're not, you know, when you're broke, you don't spend any more money. But, you know, we'll look at this and, but that's typical.
Here's where I'm going. We keep looking at legislation. And my big issue more than anything has always been TIFs. In general revenue. You're your realm expands much broader than mine. But when it comes to general revenue, and we're looking at cutting another $700 million next year, we can't keep expanding these programs. I don't want to be the obstructionist because I'm one of eight.
It's funny that when you inquired of me, I was reading a theory that I think was very well done by the senator from CAPE on next year's budgets on, you know, our reliance on federal dollars. And about the only thing that I disagreed on it was the mandatory expenses of next year of around $200 million. I think you're going to see that much higher. So I think that was a very conservative number. And I think with that conservative number, it comes up to $755 million, and we would have to have 10% growth to cushion that. Well, I think you're going to see another downturn in the economy, because I think right now what we're seeing a false economy by the amount of earned income tax credit refunds that are coming back, and people are spending those. Now, when you drive down Main Street, you see advertisement sales based on tax refunds. Well, those aren't really refunds. They're earned income tax credits coming back of taxes that were not paid. So I think and then with high fuel prices, you're going to see a dimming effect on the economy for this summer. So I think we're in even worse shape than we even think at this time.
Does the process of the Missouri Senate, does this bill then in turn go to your committee where you look?
Yeah, if it has a fiscal note of over 100,000, it would go to the committee. Hey, can I remind you of something that happened 13 years ago?
Are you doing that because my district's 13?
No, it's because that you were budget chair, I believe, at that time.
No, don't remind me of those days.
Yeah, but I just want to be able to...
I had dark hair till I took that job.
I want to be able to tell you, I told you so, but do you remember when the state of Missouri was getting tobacco money and we were figuring out where to spend it? And I come up with a plan that we would take the tobacco money and put it into a trust
fund. I do remember that. And after 25 years, we would be able to draw down those monies. I even gave you a hearing in that committee.
You bet, and I appreciate that.
I thought it was
that.
A good idea. But
you told me it was a good idea, but we could never get it past a bunch of politicians, because the first year of the trust fund, we would spend only $13 million, because that's what the interest would be off that trust fund. But we wanted to spend $140 million of money we'd get right then.
Right.
But I said if we come up and put this into a trust fund,
draw down,
and just spend the interest by the year.
It was 25
by this
years.
Year.
Would it be this year?
13 years later, the money would build up enough, and we would be drawing $130 to $140 million. Off the interest of the fund and never have to touch the fund. And this is the year that if we had done that, we would be living off the interest of that fund into perpetuity. So,
well, I do remember, and I do remember giving you a hearing, and I'm glad that I was...
That was some stupid idea I come up with that...
I wasn't one of the ones, because
worked.
I even gave
no,
you
said it was
there
a good idea.
There were people on both sides. We were all to blame. People on both sides pressuring.
But you find out it's easier for politicians to spend money now and not worry about the future. You do learn that lesson.
That's how it continues to go. Do you see me complaining about being in the minority?
No. We got a lot of sleeping done when he was in the minority, because there wasn't nothing else to do.
Yeah. And once again, I'm in the minority now. I'm not trying to be a roadblock. This is going to go to your committee. But with term limits coming in, we have to seriously look when a fiscal note says cost to general revenue. Can we afford an expansion of a program at this time? I do not believe we can afford expansions, whether it spurs economy, just like... And I always use the scenario of the one we're called into special session on, the North Side project. A spade of dirt hasn't been turned over yet, even though the new highway, the bridge, 70 bridge, is going to end up in all that North Side redevelopment property. $20 million of tax credits have already been released for that project. No development has been started, so I don't know. I'm starting to sound like a broken record, kind of like you tend to feel you're sounding like a broken record, but I just wanted to inquire of that. I don't want to hold up the newly elected senator's ideas, but we need to seriously look when general revenue dollars are on a fiscal note. Hey, do we really need to do this at this time? And I think with term limits, less of us are looking at that. And I'm not saying that to critique the members, but we need to look at that. But they had, the state of Missouri has you for 22 more months in that position.
Yeah.
So,
And then I can get
no
to go
pun
home.
Intended, but I'll just pass the buck.
I get to go home to my compound and write nasty letters to the editor.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 15th.
I would ask for unanimous consent to introduce two very special guests.
Okay, hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Off to my left and your right is Jackie Swinney. Jackie is a constituent of mine and a great leader in our district for those with developmental disabilities. Her son Jimmy, who passed away recently, was in an institution and found a greater quality of life in independent living. And he passed away a few years ago. But with Jackie is Nick Yowell, who lived in that house as well, and they take great pride in that house, and they're two fantastic people that I'd like the Missouri Senate to make them feel welcome as they join us here today.
Would the guests of the senator from the 15th please rise, and would the Senate please make them feel welcome? Senator from Cape Girardeau. For what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the senator from the 13th.
Senator from the 13th, do you yield?
I yield.
Thank you. Proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Senator. I don't have a copy of the fiscal note in my file. What does the fiscal note say again on this?
Zero to unknown.
Zero to unknown.
Yes.
So if it's zero to unknown on the fiscal note, it's not going to go to the senator from House Committee.
Where's it going to go?
It's going to go straight to the governor's. Well, it'll go to the House, and if the House passes, it'll go straight to the governor's desk.
Well, it says on the one page, estimated net effect on general revenue fund expected to exceed $100,000.
So it won't go to his committee. I just want you to understand, it's not going to go. It's not going to go to oversight. It's going to cost nothing. That's
Senator,
what the fiscal note basically says.
As you and I well know, we've been around. In my position, I only have so many silver bullets this year.
I understand.
This isn't one of the ones I'm going to use my silver bullets on. And I think you're well aware of the facts of where I'm going
to
use
my silver bullets. I just wanted to know what the fiscal note actually said.
Zero to unknown with a caveat that says estimated net effect on general revenue fund expected to exceed $100,000.
Yeah, and I don't know. When it says zero to unknown, I don't know that that's going or not. And that's the question of whether it will or not.
I think unknown, I think of Buzz Lightyear to infinity and beyond.
And beyond, yeah, exactly. So I just wanted to say
the youngsters in the audience enjoy that?
Yeah.
Nope.
I just wanted to say that you know, is I don't know. I maybe we can get a better understanding at some point of whether this will or will not be referred by the pro tem or has to under Senate rules. Be referred to that, but
once again, I don't know the Senate rules on those referrals either.
Yeah, I just don't know that it will. But I appreciate the inquiry, just because I didn't have a copy of the fiscal note, Mr. President.
Senator from Cape.
Could I inquire the sponsor of the bill?
Does the senator from Lewis yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. And I don't want to belabor the point on where we're at. Basically, you're taking an existing program and you're just broadening the categories to which that existing program can expend resources.
Of who is eligible to,
who is eligible
yes,
to receive those expended resources.
The money actually comes from the Treasurer's Office through the linked loan program that they have.
Okay.
With banks, like I say, the money.
We take all the taxpayer dollars that come in, and then we loan that, or we deposit that in banks, and then banks pay us interest. So this is basically the interest on that money that a portion, I guess, subject to the appropriations process, is allocated there, or it's a guaranteed percentage that's there. It's one of the two. Yeah.
Could you repeat that?
Well, basically what happens is within the LINC program, we don't know how much interest we're going to earn in a given year with the banks in which we do all of it.
Fluctuates.
Yeah, but we have, I guess, at some point in the appropriations process, is there a line item where we say so much money can be deposited to this, or how do we actually get the backing? I mean, where does the money come from that gets the backing? You said the LINC program, but well, is that $100 million? Is that $5 million?
I think it's, and I'm not for sure about that.
Right.
All I know is it's been a very successful program.
Right.
The Treasurer's Office, I know, has been out visiting with rural banks trying to, they say they have more money to loan.
Right.
The only time GR, you know, direct GR would be affected is if there is a default. And like I said, in all the years the program's been in operation, there's only been one default.
Right.
And if I remember right, the loss on that was less than $20,000.
Okay. And as it relates to these categories, I mean, obviously somebody thought that, hey, it would be good to, you know, say that you can get expansion acquisition. So we're going to finance, like, buying another person's barn or farm?
That's what it says here. But it could be one feed mill buying another one or upgrading their own feed mill. Expansion, that could mean a lot of things.
An acquisition.
But like I say, the MASDA board, when they look at these proposals that come to them, are very diligent in what they approve. And that's why I think the track record they have has been very good.
Okay. And then, under this, if this program changes, let me ask you this. Recently, we've had the Missouri Development Finance Board issue tax credits to build a new barn for the state fair. Do you think we could eliminate the Missouri Development Finance Board issuing tax credits to build a new barn for the state fair?
That's,
I mean, why didn't they use this program? I mean,
they might be able to. However, I don't know as they actually fit into the qualifications that this would, they,
right.
they would have to meet in this bill or this statute.
All right. Well, I appreciate the inquiry. Thank you for your time.
Back to acquisition, yeah. And I know that it's pretty loose right here, but when it's acquisition, generally it means of new equipment. That's what they've always done in the past, is for equipment to upgrade.
Well, I mean, but we've always been able to get equipment under this, and when you add the new term acquisition, that tells me
if
you're going to be able to use this to buy farmland, you're going to be able to use this to buy one operation to another operation, and that's more or less, to me, a business decision that if I own Cape Bicycle Shop and I want to buy my competitor out at Cape Bicycle Shop, that competes with me in Cape Girardeau, I don't get any governmental-assisted loan programs to go put up the funding to do that. Why should we do it in agriculture when I'm going to be the one that ends up making the money?
Acquisition is not a new word in here, Senator. If you look just to the first line in number one, clear to the right side, it's always provided for that. But
well,
like
then,
I say, the
or
board...
Or the expansion, acquisition, construction, improvement, or rehabilitation of a qualifying agribusiness. So it used to be for property, and that could be acquisition for a tractor or something like that. Now when you're saying agribusiness, now you're talking about one business buying another business.
That could be, and we do have grain elevators. We just had one last year that...
Go bankrupt.
Did. And then another one that was in good standing,
right,
moved in and bought it. Now, but like I say, I don't know if that would, if the board would approve anything like that.
Well, I mean, obviously the board wants the expanded ability to approve that. So that tells me that they may want to do that. I don't know. You got a note. You want to share?
They just want to
with
expand
us?
It to agribusiness.
Say again?
They just want to expand it to agribusiness.
Agribusiness from the actual property of agriculture.
No, from producers.
Well, right now it says that this loan program would go to the agricultural property. Now it goes to the agribusiness.
That's the expansion.
Okay. Yes. And my only point was, if I own a bicycle shop in Cape Girardeau and I want to buy my competitor out, I don't get a governmental loan program to go buy my competitor out. But now we could be expanding this program not to help the individual farmer, but help in the acquisition of buying out competitors.
That would be up to the board.
Right. But when the board wants the authority in statute to go do that, doesn't that tell us that that's what the board plans to do? If they don't plan to do it, why do they need the authority? That's like me going out and telling my dad, "Dad, I'd like to move my curfew back to 1 a.m. and then telling my dad, "But I'll never stay out till 1 a.m. Well, then why do you want to stay out till 1 a.m.? Why don't you get home before midnight rolls in? Or at least that's what my dad told me. My dad always told me nothing good happens for a teenager past midnight.
Mine too.
All right, Senator. I appreciate the inquiry. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
We're on the motion of the senator from Lewis. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the bill? Seeing none, Senator from Lewis, you are recognized to close.
Mr. President, if there are no other questions, I would now move that Senate Bill 161 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
The senator from Lewis renews his motion that Senate Bill number 161 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'll stay on that calendar. We'll go back to Senate Bill 55.
Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 55 with Senate substitute be called from the informal calendar and taken up for perfection.
You have heard the motion of the senator from Phelps. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Phelps.
Yes, I think we have, we give the senator from Nottoway time to look into this issue that he had concerns. His school seems to be our right. I think our narrowly defining what a sawmill and a planting operation was is helpful. And so I think we're ready to move forward. And if there's any other discussion, I would entertain those questions.
Okay. You've heard the motion of the senator from Phelps. Does any other senator wish to be heard on the bill? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, if there are no other questions, I would now move that Senate Bill 55 with Senate substitute be declared, perfected, and ordered printed.
Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
Okay.
We're adopting the substitute on this.
Okay. The motion is to adopt the substitute. The senator from Phelps renews his motion that. Senator from Phelps, please restate your motion.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 55. With Senate substitute?
That's right, that the Senate substitute be adopted.
I move for the adoption of the substitute and be perfected in order to print it.
Be adopted. Okay, the senator from Phelps has moved that the Senate substitute for Senate Bill 55 be adopted. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate substitute is adopted. Senator from Phelps.
I now move that the Senate bill with the substitute be ordered, perfected, and printed.
Okay. The senator from Phelps renews his motion that Senate Bill number 55 with Senate substitute be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Stay on that calendar. Senate Bill 173.
We are on the informal calendar for Senate bills for perfection. Senate Bill 173. Senator from Green.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 173 be taken up for perfection.
Okay. You have heard the motion of the senator from Green. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Green.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill 173 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
Okay. The senator from Green has moved that Senate Bill 173 be ordered, perfected, and printed. Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is very simple. It's just a follow-up to legislation that was passed last year on the 2020 committees, sort of some long-term planning, which, of course, is always necessary. The focus of those 2020 committees was really on areas where we do need improvement. I thought it would be good for us to also focus on areas where we do rank high as a state, our transportation, but certainly need to maintain our momentum. I would be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, would renew my motion.
Okay, we are on the motion of the senator from Green. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the bill? Seeing none, Senator from Green, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
The senator from Green renews his motion that Senate Bill number 173 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you ask the Secretary if there are messages from the Governor? If there are, I would ask for a waiver of the reading and that they be printed in the journal.
Secretary, are there messages from the Governor? There are messages from the Governor. They will be printed in the journal. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Please refer the gubernatorial appointments to the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments.
They will be so referred. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
We are on the order of business of announcements. Senator from Lewis.
Mr. President, your Committee on Agriculture, Food Production, and Outdoor Resources will be meeting at 12 o'clock in SCR 1.
Okay. We are on the order of business of announcements. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government will meet in the lounge at noon.
Okay, we are on the order of business of announcements. Are there any other announcements? Senator from Cape.
President, your committee on, and I have no idea what the new name is, Veterans Affairs, Emerging Issues, Pensions, and Urban Affairs will meet at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Senate hearing rooms.
Okay, we are on the order of business of announcements. Are there any other announcements? Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Okay, we're on the reports of standing committee, Senator from the 23rd.
Your com- committee, your Committee on Rules has a report.
Send it forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which is referred Senate Bill 63, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Okay. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You have heard the motion of the senator from the 23rd. All those of the opinion that the motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate stands adjourned under the rules.